Lord, what should I do? Chapter 1. What is happening to mainstream Christianity? Church is supposed to be a haven, a place where one can go for respite, nurturing, and encouraging fellowship. A place where one can worship God in comfort and peace. A place where one can be inspired, taught the scriptures, receive answers to life's questions, and even be corrected. But for millions of Americans, attending church is a thing of the past. They are among the growing ranks of church dropouts, those who choose to stay at home rather than waste time and energy on a church that, in their estimation, no longer represents Christ or that has ceased to be relevant in their lives. This exodus of desperation has been a long time in the making and is accelerating at an alarming pace. Currently, the religion editor for the Washington Times, Julia Duen, has spent much of her career researching this very phenomena. Why do faithful churchgoers quit going to church? In her book, Quitting Church, Duen points out that many churchgoers are skipping church. It's no secret that the percentage of Americans in church on any given Sunday is dropping fast. How fast? For the past several years, Gallup polls have shown church attendance at around 43%. However, according to a survey sponsored by the National Opinion Research Center at the University of Chicago, religious attendance in America fell from 41% in 1971 to 31% in 2002. That's 10 percentage points in 30 years. Studies conducted in 2005 by sociologists suggest the average attendance is much lower, around 18 to 20%, half of what the Gallup polls indicate. One of the researchers, Dave Olson, said in a report published in the April 2006 issue of Christianity Today that significantly fewer Americans are actually participating in traditional church-going practices. Moreover, growth measured in terms of new baptisms has slowed dramatically. Duen notes that most so-called church growth is due to transfers from one church to another. From her perspective, the trend is undeniable. Evangelicals, for a variety of reasons, are heading out of church. They are abandoning mega churches for home-based mini churches. According to an Associated Press report filed by journalist Tom Breen, older mainline Protestant churches across the nation are struggling to maintain their facilities due to shrinking budgets, a natural consequence of declining membership. In fact, many churches are losing their sanctuaries because they can no longer pay their mortgage debt. Since 2008, nearly 200 religious facilities have been foreclosed on by banks, up from only 8 during the previous 2 years. Some borrowed too much or build too big during boom times and are now under tremendous financial pressure. While rising unemployment and a weak economy are certainly part of the problem, the ongoing drop in church attendance is a major factor. As congregations shrink, so do contributions. For example, Breen writes that the Metropolitan United Methodist Church in Detroit was completed in 1926. At that time, it was the most expensive Methodist facility ever built. By 1949, it had just over 10,000 members, more than any Methodist congregation in the world. Today, he writes, membership is at 375. In a city where Methodist churches have fallen from 77 to 16. Breen says, the Detroit Methodist Church decline is mirrored among other Protestant denominations like the Lutherans, Presbyterians, and Episcopalians, which have seen memberships drop in recent decades while the average age of remaining worshipers gets older. He quotes Robert Jager, executive director of the Partnership for Sacred Places, who says that numerous mainline churches have shrunk from 500 members to 100 members, or from 800 members to 200 members. But mainstream denominations are not the only groups facing steep declines in attendance. Even the Sabbatarian Seventh-day Adventist, SDA, movement, with some 15 million members worldwide, is undergoing a mass exodus of unhappy churchgoers. According to the group's own research, SDA membership in the United States alone has dropped some 40% over the past two decades, from about 750,000 to 450,000. Worldwide, nearly 1.4 million members left the SDA Church from 2000 to 2005. Even worse, only 50% of those still on the rolls actually attend services. Studies indicate that 80% of former Adventists cite doctrinal issues as the reason for dropping out. Dr. Peter Barkhuizen, Let the Truth Set Us Free, Biblical Research Perspectives. What's behind all the empty pews? Why are people quitting church? Duan estimates that 78 million Protestants are church dropouts. For them, Sunday mornings at church have become too boring or painful. People are bored witless at church. Skipping a Sunday doesn't distract from the quality of their week, writes Duan. Why? Church has nothing to do with their actual lives. What's preached and talked about is irrelevant to their daily existence in the 21st century. Thus, large groups of Christians are opting out of church because they find it impossible to stay. Moreover, evangelical pollster George Bonner, founder of the influential Barna Group, estimates that the number of unchurched Americans is growing at the rate of about 1 million each year. But as we will see, these dropouts have not suddenly become irreligious. Rather, they are frustrated by the overall failure of the established church. The increasingly irrelevant church. A sad commentary on the ability of today's churches to retain members is reflected in the aftermath of 9/11. Immediately following the terrorist attacks, churches became packed, spiking growth charts. Within a few months, however, attendance began dropping sharply as the seekers, as Duan calls them, fell away unimpressed. As a reporter covering religion in America, Duan writes that she has been amazed to witness the number of people who have dropped out of church. The most common complaint, she notes, was the banality of the church. Churchgoers are tired of stale, same old forms of worship. The spiritual gruel offered Sunday after Sunday has become unpalatable. They are troubled by the ongoing watering down of doctrine, and they are concerned that many Christians, especially the younger ones, do not take the Bible seriously, particularly on issues such as divorce and premarital sex. The problem seems to be the organized established church itself. Survey after survey says many Americans continue their private religious practices, such as reading the Bible, praying to God, or even sharing their faith in Jesus Christ. But they have given up on the institution. Dewan says that many churches today are seeker-friendly, where services are kept not only short, but bland enough to ensure that newcomers will not feel pressured or uncomfortable. But this does nothing for the Christian who is starving for substantive biblical teaching. For example, one church dropout wrote that the local church has become its own culture, from megachurches with creative marketing campaigns to Christian music, Christian books, Christian clothing, and even Christian weight loss programs. These things, in and of themselves, are well and good, but they are no substitute for a fleshed-out faith. In his book, Your Jesus Is Too Safe, Jared Wilson challenges Christians to leave behind their drive-through feel-good Jesus and embrace the true Christ. He argues that no message has been more used and exploited and appropriated than Jesus Christ. No historical figure has been more marginalized and commoditized than Jesus. For many today, he is a generic brand, a logo, a catchphrase, a pick-me-up. A good example is the WWJD, What Would Jesus Do? Motto, popularized by young churchgoers throughout the 1990s. The WWJD logo is still proudly displayed by thousands of youths on wristbands and bracelets. But how many young people really know or even care what Jesus would do in any given circumstance? Are kids today closer to God as a result of the WWJD marketing fad? As statistics will show, such campaigns are typically ineffective at bringing real spiritual growth. In fact, worldliness continues to make serious inroads into the church, corrupting our youth. The reality is, clever catchphrase Jesus marketing does not change people's lives. Wilson adds, it's no wonder the world doesn't get Jesus because we've spent decades selling a Jesus cast in our own image. As a result, our popular Jesus has inspired millions to say a prayer to get his forgiveness, and then go on living their lives devoid of his presence. In much of the church today, we worship a convenient Jesus. We designate him as our Lord and Savior, but this phrase tends to serve as merely a label that in our superficially spiritual lives belies his real function, our great example. The bottom line is that Christianity's popular bumper sticker Jesus is just not relevant to the real problems and stresses people are facing. The problems of irrelevancy extends even to a large group of unchurched young adults called millennials. According to Tom Rainier, president and CEO of Lifeway Christian Research, millennials are more than 78 million strong, all those born between 1980 and 2000. The group has already surpassed baby boomers as the larger and more influential generation in America. In his book, The Millennials, Rainier describes the group as being keenly aware of the failings of Christianity. In particular, they note that too many Christians have a low commitment to their faith, and they see churches as typically inward-focused, which turns them off. Rainier's research shows that an astounding 70% of millennials believe the church is one of the least relevant institutions in society. Lifeway Research has conducted numerous surveys in an effort to get a handle on why so many churchgoers are opting out of traditional services. Brad Wagner, director of the organization's research team, reported some of their findings in an article titled, Lifeway Surveys the Formerly Churched. Can the church close the back door? Wagner writes that 37% of the formerly churched said they were disenchanted with the pastor or church. More specifically, such disenchantment was related to the following areas. 17% of those surveyed said church members were hypocritical. 17% said they were judgmental of others. 12% said the church was run by a clique that discouraged involvement. And 14% felt the church was not helping them to develop spiritually. Dewan and other researchers have discovered that many disillusioned churchgoers were facing difficult, trying circumstances in their personal lives when they decided to opt out. Some were in desperate need of real help. Their pastors, however, were useless in giving meaningful counsel. The corporate church had let them down. As a result, they were having trouble personally connecting with God. Dewan's research suggests that many churchgoers are simply not being pastored. Often ministers are out of touch with what's happening on the ground and fail to address the serious problems many Christians face. It is no wonder, then, that many people are no longer content to waste part of their Sundays on an institution that gives them nothing. Wagner also notes that pastors often fail to clearly articulate what God expects of Christians, causing them to eventually drop out of church. He quotes Greg Ogden's book, Transforming Discipleship. Christian leaders seem to be reluctant to proclaim the terms of discipleship that Jesus laid out. What are the reasons for our reluctance? We are afraid that if we ask too much, people will stop coming to our churches. Our operating assumption is that people will flee to the nearby entertainment church, those with an emphasis on music, drama, and praise-type services, if we ask them to give too much of themselves. So we start with a low bar and try to entice people by increments of commitment, hoping that we can raise the bar imperceptibly to the ultimate destination of discipleship. Wagner said it appears that some of the formerly churched left because the destination was too slow emerging. A similar out-of-church phenomena is occurring in other countries such as the UK. According to a 2007 study conducted by Tear Fund Organization, only 15% of the British population attends church regularly. Where are the remaining Brits? 33% consider themselves to be non-Christian, and another 33% are what the study calls de-churched, those who claim to be Christians but choose not to attend church. The study pointed to poor church experiences as the main reason so many Brits are de-churched. Likewise in New Zealand, historian Andrew Strom notes that would-be churchgoers have been frustrated by a lack of God. He wrote, "New fads and programs come and go, but mediocrity and lack of God just seem to go on forever." And so quietly, sometimes without anyone even noticing, people slowly slip out the doors, never to return. Ultimately, Duan has concluded that Christian leaders as a whole have no idea of the magnitude of the trend of opting out of organized religion. The bottom line, Americans are finding the church is simply no longer relevant to their lives. As Duan says, what's preached and taught is irrelevant to the questions on the ground. There is a disconnect between what is coming from the pulpit and people's real lives. As one church dropout put it, one reason churches don't satisfy is that they don't take the gospel seriously. They're not really helping churchgoers figure out how to live in a way that is glorifying to God in contemporary society. The church, it seems, has conveniently ignored the raw realities of life. They are not preaching on real issues, divorce, chastity, cohabitation that people are facing, says Mike McManus, a syndicated Christian writer. There's an avoidance of the big issues people are facing. The church is a big zero when it comes to educating people on marriage issues. For example, Lauren Winner, a former senior editor for Christianity Today, has studied the lifestyles of Christian singles, who, as a group, are often neglected by the corporate churches. She found that the typical church is clueless about the sexual temptations that flourish in today's society. Well-meaning preachers use platitudes, if they say anything at all, to remind their singles to stay celibate. But more often than not, they ignore the thousands of unmarried Christians who disobey this injunction. While Winner's outspoken approach has won her few friends in the field of religious journalism, her message is relevant to the lives of struggling Christian singles. As Duan notes, sexual issues are especially tough, and church pastors are woefully negligent in teaching that it is possible to live up to biblical standards of fidelity. They are just not up to dealing with the messiness of life. With such a disconnect from reality, is it any wonder that many single churchgoers drift off out of shame and frustration? In his 2005 book, Revolution, George Bonner writes that a new kind of Christian, he calls them revolutionaries, is emerging out of the established church. He says these are serious believers, about 20 million strong, who are not willing to play religious games and aren't interested in being part of a religious community that is not intentionally and aggressively advancing God's kingdom. Rather, they are people who want more of God, much more in their lives, and they are doing whatever it takes to get, including leaving organized Christianity. He adds that today millions of devout followers of Jesus Christ are repudiating tepid systems and practices of the Christian faith. They have no use for churches that play religious games or indulge in worship services that drone on without the presence of God, or ministry programs that bear no spiritual fruit. Such revolutionaries, he adds, eschew ministries that compromise or soft sell our sinful nature and are embarrassed by language that promises Christian love and holiness, but turns out to be all sizzle and no substance.